Welcome to another edition of Religion and Rock. I'm Monsignor Jim Vlorn. Here he is, our producer and engineer, Stephen the Man Chaldone.
Hey there.
How are we doing?
I am well. How are you, sir?
Doing good. I've been busy. You know, we have a new auxiliary bishop in our diocese.
Yes, congratulations.
Bishop Henning, who, like, I know for a long, long time. You know, we were in school together.
Okay.
And nice guy, good man. So wish him the best. And
I wish him good luck.
Lots of work. My God. He has a lot of work to do. But also, the ordination was a lot, because it was, like, you know, a lot of TV.
Now,
stuff.
Is that the kind of promotion that you could say thanks but no thanks, or no, when you're asked to be?
Was that really, you know what, it's funny thing you say that. It's not really like a promotion.
Okay.
It's sort of like an invitation by the Holy Father,
right,
inspired by the Holy Spirit, to a new ministry. It's
okay.
Kind of a new ministry. And it is the fullness of orders, of holy orders. Like, I'm a priest.
Right.
But there's one more, and that's being a bishop. So
okay.
That's the second kind of way to have holy orders. And that's the highest version of having holy orders. So there is that kind of promotion to it. But at the same time, long story short, you don't say no. I mean, I think people have, maybe. And we wouldn't know about it because they've been sworn to secrecy. I don't know, but I don't know.
No, you take it.
Most of the people I know have said yes.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, it's good. A good thing for him. I'm happy for him. You know, I think in all of our lives, you know, we kind of have tried hard to have a relationship with God. And that's what we're looking at today, our spiritual lives and how it calls us from one thing to another. Sometimes priesthood, sometimes a bishop, sometimes married life. You know, whatever it is, we all have this relationship with God. It's important to invest in it. It's important to look at it and to ask God to help us through it. And that's what we're looking at today, that gift of spirituality, religion in our lives put into action. That's really what I define it as. To start us off, this is Billy Joel. It's called The River of Dreams.
In the middle of the, I go walking in the middle of the, oh.
Billy Joel, The River of Dreams. You know, that's the truth of what spirituality is about. It's about our dreams. It's about our hopes. It's about our desire. But it's also, you know, what God asks of us. Sometimes the dream changes. Sometimes the dream develops as life goes on. And that's a good thing. You know, like, I didn't want to be a priest from the moment I was a baby. But later on in life, I started to say, like, you know what? As I've been praying and as I'm trying to get a relationship that's sturdy with God, you know, in the teenage years and trying to think about God's existence and where do I fit into it all, you know, then all of a sudden this idea of the priesthood comes up. And boom, I start thinking about it, you know? And then all of a sudden, that becomes the dream and that becomes the thing that we pursue and pray about and think about. And the reality comes, you know? I think that's what happens in our lives, right? You know, what we do for a living is really not about the dream all the time, right? The dream is about the family. It's about where we get true and deep joy. Now, some of us are lucky enough, we have jobs that give us true and deep joy. I'm lucky enough, I have to tell you, that I get that every single day of the week. But I know lots of people who don't. So where do you find your joy? Where do you find your satisfaction? You know, in your family, in your friends, in the time that you spend doing the things you love to do and help other people. Those are the things that, if we plug that into spirituality, we begin to see good things happening. You know, the spiritual life is not easy, but in our lives, we have examples of people all the time who have done this and who've kind of turned their lives around and found God in their lives. Those examples are what we need to inspire us too. I'll get to that right after this next song. This is the Rolling Stones. It's called Saint of Me.
Persecutor was a cruel and sinful man. Jesus hit him with a blinding light, and then his life began. I said, oh, yes. I said, oh, yeah. Augustine knew temptation. He loved women, wine, and song. And all the special pleasures of doing something wrong. I said, oh, yes. I said, oh, yeah. I said, yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. You'll never make a saint of me. Oh yeah, oh yeah. You'll never make a saint of me. Yeah.
The Stones will never make a saint of me. You know, it reminds me of two saints we celebrate in August that are kind of interesting saints, you know. We have a lot of different ones all through the summer, but two of them that I really like, it's 27th and 28th of August. 27th is Monica, St. Monica, and the 28th is St. Augustine, her son. Now, St. Monica, you know how we have patron saints? They really kind of call us to holiness by the difficulties they've had in their lives, so they become a patron saint. So she's like the patron saint of disappointing children, of addiction, of alcoholism, all these kinds of things, because she had a son, Augustine, who was a renegade. And this guy was tough, and he was tumble, and just drove her crazy. And she stayed with him. She loved him through it all. And somehow he turned his life around. He ended up being a saint, too. Can you believe that? And a tremendous father of the church, a theologian that taught so much to us all by his own life. And he wrote one time that his mother gave birth to him twice. She said, one time when I was born, but another time when I was born again, and I found faith. And that mattered, and that changed me dramatically. You know, we need those kinds of examples in our lives. Someday you should Google St. Monica, read about her. She's amazing. And St. Augustine, too, the 27th and 28th of August, a mom and a son. And their spiritual lives continue to kind of inspire us to this day. Maybe they're never going to make a saint of you or a saint of me. I don't know if there's enough cement in the world to make a statue of me. But I think the reality is that, you know what? We can look at others, though, and be inspired by them. And they can kind of urge us on to live good lives. That's why we have the saints, because they help us to live better lives. It's such an important reality that we're all called to kind of share in one way or another. Here's Don Henley. This is called Heart of the Matter.
I have to learn again.
another big part of our spiritual lives is that idea, the idea of forgiveness, how important it is in our lives to be people who are able to let go of hurt and let go of things that perhaps were so painful there's no reason to forgive them, but we do. That kind of forgiveness is what we're called to be able to let go of things. Now, in our own lives, that happens, right? In our own lives, we do things that really need forgiveness. And one of the great gifts we have in our faith is that gift of going to reconciliation, go to confession. And I have to tell you, that's really kind of back. A lot of people go. It's incredible now. It's a beautiful thing. They go and they seek forgiveness from God. You know, there's something really important about it. It's beautiful. At the same time, in our own lives, you know, we hurt people too. And sometimes it's about seeking forgiveness from them and saying, yeah, I'm really sorry for that. I'm sorry that this happened. I'm sorry that this was interpreted this way. Those things, I think, are part of our life. We have to kind of look at that and say, well, what do I have to do the right thing? What do I have to do to kind of recognize the power of forgiveness? One of the things, I don't think you can forgive really well unless you've been forgiven. And I don't think you can forgive, you know, be forgiven unless you really forgive well. Both of those things feed each other. I think if you're a forgiving person, you will be forgiven well. And if you forgive others, you're going to forgive better too. I think it goes back and forth. And I think we need to be able to do that in our lives. So who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to say, you know what, even if I can't contact you, even if you're not around where I can contact you, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to let it go. Something important about that, and I think we're called to recognize that power we have by God, really, to forgive like he does us, that gift of forgiveness that just wipes the slate clean, gives us a brand new kind of tablet to start with. They call it tabula rasa, a blank slate, so that we can start over again and live our lives kind of trying to do the best we can every day. Here's The Who. This is called The Seeker.
To get what I'm after till the day I die. I asked Bobby Dylan, I asked the Beatles, I asked Timothy Leary, but he couldn't help me either. They call me the Seeker. To get what I'm after till the day I die. People tend to hate me 'cause I never smile. As I ransack their homes, they wanna shake my hand. Focusing on nowhere, investigating miles. I'm a seeker, I'm a really desperate man.
We're
all looking and searching for meaning in our lives. And even in the spiritual life, like if you wanted to reignite your spiritual life, how would you start? And that's a question, right? How do you start this? How do you even start to have a relationship with God if you haven't had a relationship in a while? Maybe it's just about a conversation. Maybe it's about a walk on the beach. Maybe it's about some moments in silence. It just says, Lord, speak to me. You know, I haven't heard from you in a while, and I'd like to speak to you too. And just to have that conversation in our hearts with God, it's kind of an important fresh start, I think. Sometimes it's about the written prayers, right? It's about recognizing, yeah, well, you know what? If I can pray the Our Father, if I can say a prayer before I go to bed every night, those things help me. I know a lot of married couples, believe it or not, who say a prayer together every night before they go to bed. There's something really beautiful about that. I know families do it with their kids, but then the couple does it together too. There's something really very important about that. I think it's important to pray before meals. Like if you see me out somewhere, more than likely at that dinner table at a restaurant, I do a prayer before we eat dinner. I like the example of that even. You know, the fact that I'm not only thanking God for the gift of this meal, but I'm thanking God for the gift of everybody else in that restaurant. And you know what? Take a look. No big deal. You can stare if you like, because I think there's something good about that example we set. Those examples make a difference and they help others' spiritual lives too. So if you're just starting out, start out simple. You don't have to be a guru in one day. You don't have to be a saint in one day. No, just start out. Maybe it's about reading the Bible and just read a couple of pages of the Bible. One chapter, one paragraph. Those things start us up and get things going. And then, you know, it just happens. It's amazing how it develops when we are steadfast and we remain committed to it. It's like going to the gym. You really get better into spiritual shape and it makes a difference. Here's Joe Walsh. This is called Ordinary Average Guy.
Thank you.
Rachel Walsh, Ordinary Average Guy. You know, most of us, that's who we are, right? I mean, and gals, you know, all of us, that's who we are. We're pretty ordinary, pretty average, right? But in the midst of that, can we be extraordinary? Is there an extraordinary component to who you are or to who I am? Of course there is. It's about discovering those gifts that God has given us and what we do with them. You know, how do we put them into action? So if you're a kind person, how are you letting your kindness change this world and the part of the world that God has given you? If you're a person who's generous, how are you letting your generosity with your time or with your talent or with your treasure, how are you letting that change the little part of this world that God has entrusted to you? All of that stuff adds up, and it's about us being good people, and that's that spirituality that is at a very basic level, right? Being a good person. It's more than that, just being a nice guy. It's about taking the gifts, though, and putting them to work. And I think that's part of what our lives are supposed to be. It's not supposed to be just this easy ride. No, it's about doing it in season and out of season. Like, when we're really not in the mood to be kind, yeah, to be kind. We're really not in the mood to be forgiving. And when we feel like we've given all we can, to give a little bit more. That kind of stuff grows spirituality, and that's an important thing. I mean, of course, the other reality here is that another giant important part of this all is worship, right? Worshiping with other people feeds us personally. So there's something about going to church that's a very powerful part of the spiritual life, because coming together with other people, we find strength, and we get a strength, and then that kind of sends us forth to live the spiritual life on our own. So there's something good about that, and that, think about, maybe this is your weekend, you know, get to church. There's something really beautiful about that, and that's going to really help us in a big way. I'm Monsignor Jim. You're listening to Religion and Rock. We're talking about spirituality today. This is John Hiatt. Have a little faith in me.
When the road gets dark and you can no longer see, just let my love throw a spark and have a little faith in me. And when the tears you cry believe, just give these loving arms a try, baby, and have a little faith in me, and have a little faith in me, and have a little faith in me, and have a little faith in me. When your secret heart I cannot speak so easily, come here, darling, from a whisper start, to have a little faith in me. And when your back's against the wall, just turn around and you will see. I will catch you fall, baby. Just have a little faith in me. And have a little faith in me. And have a little faith in me. Such a long time, girl, expecting nothing in return, just for you to have a little faith in me. You see, time is our friend, 'cause for us there is no end, and all you gotta do is have a little faith in me.
I said, I will hold you up. I will hold you up. Your love give me strength enough, so have a little faith in me. I said, hey, oh, you gotta do for me, girl, is have a little bit of faith in me.
John Hyatt's voice, very unique, reminds me of a guy, Billy Falcon. You remember him? He had a hit song out called Power Windows a number of years ago. Google him. Great family. They're from Long Island, Lindbrook. Yeah, nice, nice family. Good friends for a long time. I haven't seen them in a while, but they're great, great, great friends. Anyway, you know, interesting, having a little faith in people is such an important thing in our lives. We're always suspect of people. It's going to be hard to allow ourselves to trust. And trust is an important part of spirituality, right? We have to trust the people who we kind of put our faith in, right? So you trust that the doctor's telling you the right thing. You trust that the oil change really happens when you bring it to the car place. You know, you trust that God really loves you. And I think there's something really important about that. Trust is such an important reality. So if you're suspect of people, that's something to pray for the ability to trust better, because that's going to help us in our own spiritual lives. And that's one of those stepping stones that helps us to grow. An important thing is trust. And we need that in relationships, of course, and we need it in our relationship with God. Here's Collective Soul. This is called Shine.
Show me where to look, tell me what it went like by. lay me on the ground and fly me in the sky. Show me where to look, tell me what to will I find. What will I find? Yeah. Yeah. Whoa. Heaven, let your light shine.
How do you shine? That's so important. You know, you go look in the Gospel of Matthew and in the other Gospels, too. It says you're a light to the world. Nobody lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel basket where nobody can see the light. No, you take the light, you put it on a lampstand so it shines to the world. How do you shine to the world? You know, it's a question to ask, and it's an important question to have an answer to. Say, well, I shine because I volunteer every week at a homeless shelter. I shine because I go to church and I make sure I pray every morning when I wake up. I shine because I try to be a loving and forgiving parent or dad. All of that stuff adds up in our lives, you know, all the shining moments. And the idea is to collect those individual shines and become a beacon to the world, right? If you can do it, and the neighborhood can do it, and a country can do it, and a world can do it, things begin to change. But I'll tell you the truth, change is only going to happen on the grassroots level for the most part. So it's up to you and me to make those differences happen in our lives so that we can shine a little bit. Hey, here's the Allman Brothers. This is called Seven Turns.
That's what it's all coming to.
Allman Brothers, talking about the idea that the spiritual life is a sense of kind of lots of turns and twists in life. We may start off in one way, in one direction, but then it kind of changes as time goes on. I remember as a very young guy, I used to pray all the time to have a more deep devotion to the Blessed Mother. And I'd say, I really want to do that because I think the idea of having like a spiritual mom and an earthly mom is kind of a good thing, right? That's a nice thing, goes hand in hand. And then as life went on, it just happened. It's a funny thing. It just happened. It just became very, very important in my life. It's kind of a great thing when that happens. Maybe we don't pray the same way we always prayed. Maybe we pray a little differently. Maybe our lives have a different rhythm than they used to have. But God is still with us. And there's something very important about recognizing that. In all the turns of life, God is there all the time. So we recognize that presence of God in the midst of the turns. Some of them we choose, some of them we don't choose. But in the midst of all those turns, God is with us all the time, calling us to that holiness and calling us to understand his presence in our lives. Here's you too. This is called Gloria.
I'm
You know, U2 started out as a Christian rock band. Gloria's from the album October. I remember buying that album, full of Christian music. And I think that song 40 is on there, right? From the 40th Psalm, too. So it's an interesting thing. A lot of those songs that are on there are directly religious. Gloria, glory to God in the highest, en excelsis, in heaven. And there's something very important about that, that our lives have to give glory to God. So U2, even in their own lives, in their own, you know, rock and roll life, they still give glory to God. They still do that by all of the charity work they do. But even their music gives glory to God. That's kind of the spirituality we want to have, that all of our lives give glory to God in some way. So your parenting, your coaching, the different things that you do every single day of the week, you know, that's giving glory to God. And that's part, when you plug that into going to church, you plug that into praying alone, it begins to have more meaning and it begins to be spirituality. And that's the great gift that we're called to recognize in the midst of our lives. You know, they always say George Harrison was kind of the spiritual Beatle. I think Paul McCartney is a spiritual guy, too, because, again, talks about being Catholic and everything else. But this is George Harrison, the quote-unquote spiritual Beatle. This is called Any Road.
I've been traveling on a boat, a plane, in a car, on a bike, with a bus, on a train, traveling there, traveling here, everywhere, in every gear. But oh Lord, we pay the price with the spin of a wheel, with the roll of the dice. Ah yeah, you pay a fare, and if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. Traveling through the dirt and the grime, from the past to the future, through the space and the time. Traveling deep beneath the waves, in watery grottos and mountainous caves. But ah, Lord, we got to fight with the thoughts in the head, with the dark and the light. No use to stop and stare, and if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. Skin of my teeth by the breath of her hair. Traveling where the fall winds blow, with the sun on my face, in the ice and the snow. But ooh-wee, it's a game. Sometimes you're cool, sometimes you're lame. Ah yeah, it's somewhere. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. Pay the price with the spin of the wheel, with the roll of the dice. Ah yeah, you pay your fare, and if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. I keep traveling around the bend. There was no beginning, there is no end. It wasn't born and never dies. There are no edges, there is no size. Ah yeah, you just don't win. It's so far out, the way out is in. Bow to God and call him sir, but if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there.
make a good choice? Well, it takes some prayer. Any road we choose has effects. It has results. Yeah. So what do you do? How do you make a decision about a job? How do you make a decision about buying a house or school, going to a school or whatever, about being a kind person? It takes that sense of spirituality. So our relationship with God is so important. We have to kind of invest in that every day. One of the most beautiful gifts in our lives. When we take good care of it, it pays us back. And that's where joy is found. You've been listening to Religion and Rock. It's hosted by me, Monsignor Jim Vlorn, and it's engineered and produced by the great man of spirituality, Stephen Chaldone. Have a wonderful week, everyone, and don't forget, say a prayer.